This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. UFO investigators moving their headquarters to Cincinnati. The Mutual UFO Network, or MUFON, describes itself as the world's oldest and largest civilian UFO investigation and research organization. It has nearly 600 investigators across the country and the globe. The move from Irvine, California to Cincinnati comes at an exciting time for those who look up to the skies. A government report on unexplained aerial phenomena, or UPA, is due to be provided to Congress as soon as this month. Members of the House Intelligence Committee received a classified briefing on UAPs by the Navy and the FBI this week. The New York Times reported earlier this month American intelligence officials have found no proof of extraterrestrial activity in the aerial phenomena witnessed by Navy pilots, but they still cannot provide a definitive explanation for these strange objects in the sky. So let's talk about those objects and more with MUFON Executive Director David MacDonald, who joins us via Zoom. David, welcome to Cincinnati Edition, and welcome back to Cincinnati.
Thank you very much, Michael. It's absolutely delightful to be here.
Well, we're delighted to have you. And why don't we start by explaining to our listeners why the move from Irvine to Cincinnati? Please don't tell me you expect some sort of invasion.
No, we don't, sir. As a matter of fact, the headquarters was actually in Cincinnati back in 2012. And I was on this program back in 2012. Anyway, to make a long story short, my term ran out as executive director, and the fellow that replaced me, he was from Irvine, he moved everything out there. Well, anyway, the board came to me and asked to bring it back, get things back here in Cincinnati, and that's exactly what we're doing. Cincinnati is just a wonderful place to do business. I believe the Visitors and Convention Bureau have put out statistics showing that 80% of the population is within a six-hour drive of Cincinnati. That makes it darn local and accessible.
You know, I have to say, it's quite interesting to hear that even UFO researchers cite those Chamber of Commerce talking points about why they've decided to locate here. I think that's interesting. But in addition to that, I mean, this is an organization that has quite a following. I was reading your Twitter feed this morning. You have over 95,000 followers. That's certainly nothing to sneeze at. So you've got a pretty devoted following even outside of your organization. What do you do? What's your day look like?
Well, we, of course, provide information, investigations of UFOs, education, and we're just trying to figure this out just like everyone else is. So we have 600 trained investigators in all 50 states and 48 different countries. So we've got coverage all over the place. We have the largest database in the world for UFO information. And we're in the process right now of turning it into a translatable system so that researchers around the world, no matter what their language is or where they live, they can have access to data for their research. So that alone keeps us pretty busy. Well, we also have MUFON TV.
Yeah, I watched some of your videos, and you have some very interesting discussions on that. And I'm wondering, for our listeners' sake, they heard me just now use the term UFO. That's a very common term, unidentified flying object. But what about unexplained aerial phenomena? Is there a difference? Is there a term that you prefer? And what do they mean to you?
No, they both mean the same thing, really. I'm old, so I prefer UFOs. That's what I grew up with, and that's what comes to mind first. But the unidentified aerial phenomenon or unexplained, it fits just as well.
Okay, and so what does it mean to you? I mean, when we say unidentified flying object, or if we more formally use the newer term unexplained aerial phenomena, what does that typically mean to you?
Well, pretty much what it says. There is something that someone saw, that radar picked up, that whatever it happens to be, but nobody knows what it was. It's unidentified. Now, that doesn't mean it's extraterrestrial. It just means we don't know yet. So That's what we're trying to find out. That's what we're trying to establish.
A lot of times, David, our minds go to aliens, right? When we hear about UFOs, we immediately think that there's some type of aircraft, even if it's just a fantasy thought, you know, that there's some type of aircraft out there manned by some type of creature that's not human. But I do want to quote something that The Atlantic published just this spring that does throw cold water on some of those instant beliefs that we might turn to. Quote, perhaps because the alternatives to aliens are much more boring. The subjects of the most widely shared UFO videos are likely terrestrial in origin. Many mundane objects can masquerade as something otherworldly. Experimental aircraft, atmospheric quirks, drones, balloons, even the planet Venus. Camera glitches and distortions can manifest something that isn't really there. Consider these explanations and the magic starts to dissipate. Are those answers, David, enough for your organization, or do you believe that there is something otherworldly out there?
Well, certainly we believe there's something otherworldly out there. And to me, I feel like there are billions and billions of planets out there, and it's just beyond reason to actually think this is the only one that has a life form on it. So, of course, we believe it's out there. Where it is, who knows? And I agree with a lot of what that gentleman said, in so much as, yeah, it can be Venus, it can be a drone, it can be a mirage, it can be all of those things. But we've got the capability to get in there, investigate, eliminate those things, and you come back to the, we don't know. So...
We're talking with David MacDonald. He is the executive director of the Mutual UFO Network, which just relocated its headquarters again to Cincinnati. We want to hear from you, too, if you're listening and you want to share a perspective on unidentified flying objects or unexplained aerial phenomena. Have you seen something in the area before that caught your eye? Share your story with us at 513-419-7100 or email your thoughts to talk@wvxu.org. David, the idea of extraterrestrial crafts or animals or creatures have captured our imaginations for a long time. As long as pop culture has been around, it's been the focus of stories, certainly. But now it's out of sci-fi. It's out of just fantasy stories. There are very serious people taking these investigations very seriously. That doesn't mean necessarily that they're looking into the existence of aliens, but they are further evaluating what is being spotted in the night sky. Former United States Senator Harry Reid, the Democrat from Nevada, the former Senate Majority Leader, wrote an op-ed in the New York Times where he talked about how back in 2007, he helped secure $22 million in funding for what was called the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program. And this was something out of the Pentagon that investigated reports of UFO. And he says that while that program no longer exists, the government still studies UFOs now through a program called the Unidentified Aerial Phenomenon Task Force. And we know that Congress is expecting a report very soon. What does this mean to you, David, now that the higher echelons of American government are looking more deeply into these reports?
Well, I think it's wonderful that at least on an official level, people are saying, wow, we really don't know what this is. It's very relieving to us. I don't think you're going to see them come out and say, yeah, folks, we've been lying to you for 70 years. And yeah, there really are aliens and they work with us. They're our trading partners. You're not going to get that. I think you're going to continue to get the we cannot confirm or deny, but at least they're saying there's something out there and we don't know what it is. So
do you think, David, that the government has been lying about it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you would see the hundreds of thousands of sighting reports that we have, if you talk to the people who are not crazy, not drinking, who have actually seen these things, and granted, yeah, gee whiz, I was looking at Venus. You factor all those out, we can explain 92 to 93% of all of the cases we investigate. We can track that down to either a natural phenomenon or a hoax or whatever it happens to be, but we still come down to that 8% that we have no idea what it is.
What do you think the motivation would be for the government to lie to the people about what they know about these objects?
I don't know. I can only give you my opinion. And this is not the opinion of MUFON. It's my opinion. What if the president came out today and said, folks, aliens are real. They're working with us. And by golly, we got free energy for everybody. That's where you're going to have your panic. Every economic system on the planet is based on oil. And if you suddenly don't need it anymore, that's where you're going to have real problems.
So you think it's mostly related to not panicking the population?
Would you repeat that, please?
Your suggestion then is that the motivation, based on your opinion, is that the government has withheld information about unidentified flying objects so as not to panic the population.
Oh, sure, of course. But, you know, we grew up watching everything from Flash Gordon to Star Wars to Battleship Galactica, you name it. Aliens are old hat. And this is a 10-day country. I mean, if a ship lands here at Lunkin Airport and they all come out and have a beer with us, well, that's going to last about 10 days and it'll be old hat. So I don't think that that's a reasonable cause to generate panic. But having your economic systems collapse worldwide, that might be.
513-419-7100 is the number to call to join our conversation. Let's go to the phone lines now where we find Scott. Hi, Scott. What's your question or comment?
Hi. I have seen one before. I won't go into that. But I do have a question about where would, in the United States, some of the hot spots for sightings and reported sightings come from, say, like the top five locations?
All right, Scott, we appreciate you listening and taking the time to call. We'll hang up and let David address that. David, Scott wants to know if you've noticed any hot spots for UFO sightings.
Yes, sir. California, the West Coast, Florida, again, on the coastlines. Cincinnati, it has a tremendous history of UFO activities. Texas generates a tremendous amount. And those are just pulling that off the top of my head, according to what comes into the office here.
Can you break that down further about Cincinnati, since we're a local show? I mean, are there particular areas in our region where you've seen a higher than usual number of these reports?
Well, actually, Cincinnati and around Lunkin Airport. I mean, you go back, and I can recommend some books for you. But anyway, a hotbed of activity. You got Wright-Patterson Air Force Base right up the road from us. I don't know if that has an impact or if that could be aircraft we don't know about yet. But yeah, it's quite active here.
Do you feel like you've witnessed one of these in real time before? I'm not talking about one of the investigations where you're reviewing reports or video or audio. Have you ever been out and about and felt like you were looking at a UFO?
Yeah, I actually did. I was doing an investigation out in Oklahoma, and the lady was absolutely terrified. So every light in the sky, she, oh, my God, it's coming back. So, no, it's an airplane. I'd settle her down and all this business. And I looked up. The husband said, it was nighttime by now, and he said, well, what's that? And I looked up, and my jaw dropped, and I had never seen anything like it before. It was five green globes in a V-shaped frame just looking across the sky. So I seen that with my own eyes. I had an interesting experience at Lunkin Airport, but not quite as grand as this one I just told you. So yes, I have seen them, only two. And in my lifetime, and again, I'm an old dog, I've had thousands and thousands of hours in the cockpit, never saw anything in the air I couldn't identify, but this one threw me. So yeah, I can speak from experience.
We'll go back to the phone lines now where we find John. Hi, John. What's your question or comment?
This is John. I'm asking David if there are MUFON meetings, say, monthly down at Lunkin Airport. The UFO discussions have been in the news a lot lately, but they're always lighthearted, superficial, not in-depth. And there are a lot of us that are very knowledgeable. We've had experiences with UFOs. If you have a MUFON monthly meeting where we can learn more from other knowledgeable people, that'd be great. If David could let us know about that, please.
John, thank you so much. We'll hang up and let David address that. David, a place to meet up for people who are like-minded and curious.
Oh, absolutely. All of our states are broken into sections, and they're led by a section director. So there's a meeting in just about everybody's neck of the woods on a monthly or at least a quarterly basis. And with all of this COVID craziness going on, there has not been any meetings for, the last 15, 18 months. But it's opening up now. And yes, just keep your eye on on social media. You'll see the ads start coming up for where it's being held. And this is a regular function of MUFON. They do have those meetings.
Let me ask you, because you said that I think you offer that 92 or 93% of sightings can be explained away. It's 7 or 8% that you feel have not been explained away. You talked about having hundreds of investigators as part of your network across the country, across the world. What does that mean? What qualifies someone to be an investigator, and how do they conduct such investigations?
Well, the first thing they do, of course, is apply. We run background background checks. And then we have what's called the MUFON University. It's an online learning program. They also have a hard copy manual, which needs to be studied. They're then given exams. If they pass those exams, then they go on and we put them in the field with a seasoned investigator. They will work 4, 5, 6 cases together before we'll turn them loose on one of their own. So it's pretty deep training. It's good investigative techniques.
And when your reports are debunked in the eyes of critics, how do you typically respond?
Well, I mean, we all have our opinions. And at least speaking for myself, I respect all of them. If somebody says, "Nah, that's not for me," nothing else can exist out there. That's fine. It really doesn't bother me. And I don't try to change anybody's mind. We just say, here's the information. Here's the photographs. Make up your own mind.
We're talking with David MacDonald, Executive Director of the Mutual UFO Network, the headquarters of which are back in Cincinnati, since David is from this area and is the Executive Director again. David, what do you think this phenomena, the idea that there are extraterrestrial beings and aircraft out there, why does it fascinate people so much?
Well, it's the unknown. We find that when someone is actually confronted with a sighting, and if it's a doozy, it's life-changing. You know, they're suddenly confronted with something. They have no idea what it is, but they're absolutely convinced that it was something. So, again, all we can do is take their story, investigate it, and give them the best answers that we can give them.
We're short on time, but I'm going to take one more quick phone call from Chris. Hi, Chris. What's your question or comment?
Hey, I'll try to make this as brief as possible. So, let's say there is craft being visited. We are being visited. Do you believe these are interdimensional beings? And if there is craft visiting our planet, do you believe it is inhabited by actual life, or would it be more so like a drone type of thing?
Chris, thank you so much for the call. We'll let David take our last 30 seconds here to answer that. David, interdimensional beings, is that a possibility?
Well, in this game, anything's a possibility. And there's a number of theories to that effect. I think that beings are humanoid form of some kind just a little more plausible to me than interdimensional stuff. Although there's scientific evidence to show that there are different levels, that there are different states of consciousness and stuff. So I don't discount any of it. Again, like I said earlier, I respect everybody's opinion, and all I can do is say, here's what we got.
David McDonald is the executive director of the Mutual UFO Network and has been our guest. David, thank you so much for the time you gave us. I hope we can chat again.
I do too, sir. And it's nice talking to another Kentucky boy.
You got it. Up next, we will continue the conversation about UFO or UPA with a University of Cincinnati professor. We'll take your phone calls at 513-419-7100. Then later, for the first time, there is a comprehensive telling of the history of Kings Island in book form. The author is a local teenager. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition On Demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. As the nation's largest civilian-led UFO investigation and research organization moves to town, let's get reaction from University of Cincinnati College of Engineering and Applied Science Assistant Professor of Aerospace Engineering, Dr. Daniel Cupoletti. Professor Cupoletti, thank you so much for being with us.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
You heard our conversation there with David McDonald of the Mutual UFO Network and some of the positions that he has on what we might be seeing in the skies above us. First, I'll just get your reaction as an academic in this field to what he had to say.
It was quite interesting. I think much of what he said was reasonable in terms of, you know, being able to explain upwards of 90% of them from aviation activity, weather, other types of phenomenon. But, you know, as a scientist, as an engineer, you know, we have to be data driven. And, you know, without evidence or data, you know, it's only conjecture. So I don't think that not being able to explain something defaults it to an extraterrestrial activity or even an adversary flying off the coast of our country, as you've seen and explained by some of the pilots.
And I suppose it's important to note that just using the term UFO or UAP does not necessarily mean we're talking about an alien invasion. I mean, that is an appropriate term to use for something that may not be known precisely for what it is yet.
Yeah, and I think, you know, unidentified aerial phenomenon is much more accurate. I mean, you can, you know, one thing you need to keep in mind that all of these videos that have been released are sensor-based videos, IR cameras. I haven't seen radar information. I know there have been reports that things have been picked up on radar, but, you know, sensors can be tricked. It's called countermeasures, and our country and many other countries spend a lot of time and effort working on countermeasures. And so, you know, an unidentified phenomenon, it doesn't necessarily mean there is an object flying in the sky. And you can relate this to, you know, if you've been a photographer, you've taken a photo and you get a lens flare, you know, that's an optical phenomenon. And it doesn't mean that there is a purple through the sky.
So the U.S. government is looking into UAP right now. There's supposedly this very significant report being evaluated. Is there anything that you in the field that you're in, is there anything that you're looking for specifically from this?
Yes. I mean, data and, transparency, but that's not going to happen from the Department of Defense. My background, I've worked at the Air Force Research Labs. I've worked at Northrop Grumman, who specializes in developing stealthy aircraft. And in the defense sector, in any kind of controlled environment, I wouldn't expect that the government would release any information. It's classified and controlled for, you know, national security reasons. And, you know, there I want to sort of highlight that, you know, pilots aren't scientists and engineers aren't privy to all information. It's a very compartmentalized system, and that's for security, so that not too many people know more than what they need to know, and that's by design. So the idea that the government would come out and, you know, be transparent if they were doing something or they knew something, most likely would not occur.
Do you ever see any of these reports or video and scratch your head yourself?
I watched a lot of the videos. I listened to a lot of the experts and the pilots and their reports. But really what I took away from it is nobody visually saw anything with their own two eyes in terms of it actually being an object in the sky. It is sensor data based on objects being 60 to 100 miles away from the craft. And a sensor is, it's just an intensity that's measured. And if, for example, an infrared sensor, I've done lots of infrared measurements. You have to be very careful when you do measurements and calibrate very carefully, understand all your processing algorithms to make sure that you are not drawing conclusions that are erroneous based on sensitivity in a sensor or some flaw in your, you know, post-processing algorithm to look at data. And many of these systems are new. And, you know, there are some things, especially in these reports by these pilots, you know, one of them said it was mimicking my every movement, which to me indicates it most likely was somehow related to the movement of that pilot's aircraft, a reflection, something along those lines. But pretty much many of the claims, you know, that these things are flying hypersonic, they have no visible propulsion system, they can't visualize shock waves or any, physical phenomenon on these vehicles, to me indicates that it's most likely an optical phenomenon. Otherwise, it's violating all laws of physics.
We're talking with Professor Daniel Cupoletti from the University of Cincinnati College of Engineering and Applied Science, where he teaches aerospace engineering. So to that end, Professor Cupoletti, you have a trained eye. You are obviously data driven and have a lot of education in the field. But when these types of videos, particularly from military like the Navy, it does capture the attention of those of us who are just civilians who don't have that kind of training. I want to share some audio from Navy footage, a Navy targeting camera off the coast of Jacksonville, Florida in 2015. This was a Navy pilot who spotted UAP.
Look at that thing. It's rotating. Oh my gosh. They're all going against the wind. The wind's 120 knots to the west. Look at that thing, dude.
So that's a Navy pilot who's kind of wigging out a bit over what he sees. But I guess based on what you just said, there probably is an explanation for it.
I mean, I would just assume so. As you know, as a scientist, we always have to, you know, have a hypothesis and validate it with data. And I mean, yeah, the videos are interesting, and I can't say for certain what these observations are. And many people, you know, that are even more trained and more knowledgeable than I am have also said, we can't for sure say exactly what it is. But the point that I always go back to is just because you don't know what it is, doesn't mean you know what it is, it being extraterrestrial or, you know, an enemy flying around our coast. I mean, these are very unlikely scenarios. The U.S. intelligence community is 850,000 people with a budget of $60 billion. They are very focused on monitoring all of our coasts, all of the activity around our country for national security. I would be very, very surprised if some other country has been able to develop the amount of technology that's being claimed. I think one pilot said they are hundreds of years ahead of us in technology, which I'm not quite sure how he came to that that numerical answer. But, you know, I think that many of the reasons that have been brought up, I think there are many more likely explanations, like sensor anomalies, like countermeasures, possibly, like weather, exactly what you quoted from the Atlantic article.
Let's go back to the phone lines now, where we find David. Hi, David. What's your question or comment?
Hello, gentlemen. I know the professor just commented that he'd be surprised if this was a foreign source, but is that a possibility? Maybe China or Russia has developed something that is light years ahead of us? Is this a new space race, for lack of a better term, a propulsion unit.
All right, David, we appreciate that call very much, and we'll let the professor address that. And Professor Cupoletti, we've got about 30 seconds left, if you don't mind, I guess, reiterating the point about foreign adversaries possibly causing some of these visuals.
Yeah, and, you know, of course, you know, it's my opinion. I'm not in the know on these things, and if I was, I wouldn't legally be able to talk about it. But I'm very knowledgeable about what many engineers are doing in other countries, and I am 99% sure that the kinds of technologies they're talking about here, there's absolutely no way that they could have developed anything. You know, these observations were moving 45,000 miles per hour, just to give you an idea. And the top of the line hypersonic systems that are publicly discussed move about 4,500 miles per hour. So you're talking 10 times faster than anything that's known. And that would be very, very difficult and challenging and unlikely.
Professor Daniel Cupoletti from the University of Cincinnati College of Engineering and Applied Science, thank you so much for the time you gave us today. We really appreciate it.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Our assistant producer is Nick Swartzel. Our technical director is Josh Elstro. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks. We'll talk again tomorrow.